Well, it's certainly been a challenging few months for Tassie's berry farms, but the fruit is now coming off thick and fast. Burlington Berries, just out of Cressy in the state's north, is one of many berry farms that have had to re-evaluate their workforce this season, with COVID restrictions meaning the backpacker workers have essentially disappeared. Sean Wales visited Burlington Berries recently to see how the harvest was tracking and how they've addressed the workforce challenges.
So I'm Laurie Adams, I'm the General Manager here at Burlington.
So we're in a polytunnel. We've got a strawberry crop here on tabletops. It's a Mestia Driscoll's variety, and it's in sort of early to peak production. So plenty of fruit to keep everyone busy over the next few weeks. Burlington's just shy of 50 hectares. It's broadly strawberries and raspberries with a small amount of blackberries as well. And yeah, the raspberry crop is slightly later to start, so it's sort of December through to May. And the blackberry season's slightly shorter again. We're sort of just coming off that first peak that we have, sort of the first strawberry and floricane raspberry peak. That's usually around Christmas time. So we're just coming off the back of that now. It's been a slightly early season for us here in Tas, so that's been helpful for our business in terms of labour. But I know it's been challenging for a lot of growers in the region.
Is that because of the rain or...?
Well, I think the timing, depending on where you are, even in just northern Tasmania, the microclimates mean that there's quite a big difference in timing and the crop manipulations as well. So depending on the mix and the labour profiles that you're using, it can put more pressure on you if it's an early season. You talked about temperatures. It's been a warmer year. That's sort of about 7 to 10 days earlier than last year, and higher humidity, so that brings the kind of challenges that you'd expect with rots, mildew, for example. What we'll see now over the next few weeks is possibly a bit of a lull on some farms if they've started a bit earlier, but there is plenty of production in other parts of the state as well.
So you moved out here 12 months ago from the UK. How do you sum up the year? Did your kind of initial job description get thrown out the window when you had to start dealing with border closures and that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's certainly not been the year that the family and I expected, but it's been certainly interesting. It's been great to be thrown in with the team here into the deep end a little bit, because I think you get to know each other really well. But it's been hard, and I know that a lot of the guys here are also from out of state or from out of this country, so a lot of people have felt the effects of being away from family, away from home, and it's something that we just need to be mindful of.
On the workforce, which has been such a hot topic, I guess, this year, been discussed about, so how is it different this year to previous years in terms of percentages of locals, backpackers and seasonal workers?
Burlington has traditionally has had quite a broad profile for labour, split between backpackers, locals and seasonal workers from Pacific Islands. That's probably put us in quite a strong position. We've seen the backpacker workforce scale back pretty drastically, but we've been able to tap into the local workforce and also increase our seasonal program workforce as well. So mid-December, our first peak, we were a 50% local workforce on farm. And that's, you know, that's a challenge. It's a challenge for a lot of new people getting into picking and training and developing. And we've had to put in a range of programs. We did a superstarter program for all new workers, so they had 3 weeks of intensive training and a bonus scheme that, you know, they were able to get 30% of what they earned in the first 3 weeks in addition if they could meet the basic targets that we have on farm. So trying to, you know, really make that local workforce successful, and I think it's been, you know, the proof is that we've managed to get the crops picked and we're in a relatively good position at the moment.
Were you happy with the amount of locals that applied for jobs? There's been a lot of talk that locals don't want to pick fruit, or, you know, Australians don't want to do that work. Is that something you've seen here?
I think, you know, picking's not for everyone, and I think we're mindful that what we offer is suitable for some people's circumstances. We've had quite a lot of interest. We did a lot of work with farm tours before anyone was recruited, just to give people sort of a day in a life of what it is actually like on a farm. We found that really helpful in helping people to self-select out, because people would say, oh, look, the journey, the work, the start times. There's a range of things which it's not the same as a 9-to-5 job. And you know, but the people who went through that process and stuck with it have persisted really well. And we've had a pretty good retention. Again, not for everyone, about, you know, 70-odd% of those locals who started have continued through to now, so we'd take that as a good result.
Do you think there'll be more reliance on locals in the future? Will this be something that, you know, there's a bit of a legacy that continues?
I think it certainly fits into some people's, you know, work life or work requirements. It's a 3-month, maybe a 6-month job. So we have to be realistic about, you know, what kind of job is it replacing. But for students, for people who've got, you know, sort of seasonal requirements or variable requirements, then it could fit quite well. I think the key thing is that it takes time. It's seen as a simple job, but it takes time to become proficient like anything else. And, you know, if we have someone who comes for a second year, they're 20, 30% more productive than someone who's working in their first few weeks. So it's something which, if we can retain those local people and continue with them season to season, then yeah, they could find it rewarding and they can be a really, you know, important part of the workforce.
And so you've also been involved with chartering seasonal workers over here during the pandemic. What's that all been like to organise?
Yeah, so the team here, the HR team's done a really good job, and we've worked really closely with our local group of Driscoll's growers, and that's certainly been a collaborative effort. They've put a huge amount of work in. It's a key part of our worker pool. The seasonal workers from the Pacific Islands fit into a different period of time, and we have that year-on-year retention of the workforce, so they really upskill over that 2 to 3 year period of time. We've found a lot of support and help from the government in Tasmania. They've worked really hard to make things happen. And I think, you know, working with industry groups like Fruit Growers Tasmania has helped a lot as well. So there's been a lot of people involved, and I think, you know, it's been a credit to all of them that it's worked, and we have those workers on site now picking crops. The reality is that there are a lot of berry farmers right now in Tasmania who aren't picking crops, who aren't getting around, and that's not in anyone's interest.
There have been some calls for a minimum hourly rate, $25 an hour. Some unions calling for that Australia-wide for fruit pickers. Do you have a stance on that, or is that viable for businesses here in Tassie?
I think the key for me is that, you know, piecework systems, when managed well, are a win-win. And we see that the workforce here on average earns well above that level. That the key is to make sure that the price setting and the rate setting is fair and reasonable, and then you incentivize people who work hard who earn more money. And actually, it's the kind of job where if you push yourself, certainly at Burlington, you can be earning $35, even $40 an hour. And that's a large part of the workforce that are doing that. The last week's report, more than 60% of the staff were earning more than $28 an hour. So, you know, piecework is like anything. If the system is well managed and it's focused on being sustainable and fair, that it, you know, it benefits all parties. If it's not well managed, then, you know, it's not.
That's Laurie Adams, General Manager of Burlington Berries, speaking there with Sean Wales. Well, Stephen is one of the local berry pickers at the farm this season and says he was enjoying getting back into the workforce.
My name's Stephen. I'm a berry picker. Yeah, I also do a few odd jobs around here. I've been here for 3 weeks.
So is this your first year working here?
It is working here. I've done other seasonal type jobs and that before, so I sort of knew what to expect, you know, and I've worked farms and that sort of all my life.
So where are you based? Where do you live?
In Bishop's Firm, which is not too far away. It's just the other side of Cressy, so about 20 minutes to get here in the mornings. Yeah.
Why'd you choose this job for this year?
Well, like I said, my partner was actually working at the pub, at the Carrick pub. We've got a little baby, so she's wanted to spend more time with the kids, so I looked at getting back into the workforce, something close. And like I said, I've got a farming and fishing background, so whilst the weather's good, why not?
So you're out of work, do you mind me asking why? Is that during the pandemic, or you just had some time off?
I was a fisherman for 10 years on the northwest coast, and I had a divorce and all that, yada yada, relocated and sort of, yeah, finding my feet again.
Oh, there's a lot of talk that locals don't want to pick fruit. Is that something you've seen, or, yeah, what's your take on it?
Yeah, there definitely is a bit of that. I think it's a lot of it's though, a lot of Aussies want to get paid to do bugger all, you know. It is quite hard and quite physically demanding, but that obviously comes with practice and that too, so there's money there to be made, definitely. But I worked jobs like this when I was younger and backpacked around Australia when I was younger, so I was under no illusions of what I was walking into.
So do you have targets for yourself every day? What do you want to pick?
Yeah, I generally, to start with, just wanted to sort of make minimum wage, you know, which I'm doing already. I've only been here 3 weeks. And obviously exploit the good days when it's good. Like if you've got an extra good crop or, you know, the day's longer, sometimes there's opportunity there to make the most of it.
Obviously split between seasonal workers and locals, not many backpackers this year. How do you guys all kind of mesh and come together?
Yeah, there definitely is some good band. I found a lot of the overseas guys and that take a little bit to warm to you, especially being a local and probably seeing the work ethic of half the Aussies that come in here. But once you sort of prove yourself in that, they quite there's a bit of banter and everyone gets around each other, helps each other out.
Is it competitive in terms of who can pick the most fruit?
It is amongst the elite there, yeah. They sort of looked at us the first few days. They're like peasants, you know, get out of my way. But like I said, once they see you having a go on that, they sort of everyone helps each other out.
Yeah. So is something you consider, you know, doing again next year?
I was just talking to the guys there. There might be opportunity to continue working sort of in the off-season because I do live close and I am a local. And, yeah, I'd definitely give it a crack again. I'm quite happy here, actually. The weather's good. It's a good time of year, so you don't have to think too much picking. So.
Yeah, some interesting insights there from Stephen, a local berry picker at Burlington Berries at Cressy, speaking to the ABC's Sean Wales.